Let the church say amen. Amen. God has been wonderful once again. What a difference a week makes. This time last week, we were scrambling around trying to figure out what to do. And now this week, we're all warm, comfortable, and back in the Lord's house once again. And I apologize to anyone whom I did not reach last week. When I started making calls, and it wasn't on purpose. It was just an oversight on my part. So blame it on me, if you will. But nevertheless, God's people shall prevail, and God shall always prevail in the end. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O Lord, our wonderful and righteous God of heaven, You have given us all of our blessings that we have received of You from the earliest of our existence down to this present moment. We thank You, Father in heaven, for blessing us not only yesterday, but for blessing us today, as well as we're asking for blessings on tomorrow as well. We pray for You to You this morning, Father, because we know not when our hour may be up. And we want to thank You while we have an opportunity to say thank You, O Lord. We thank You for everything, O Lord. We thank You for this congregation. We thank You for the leaders of this congregation. We thank You for the membership of this congregation. We pray and thank You for our visitors and friends of this congregation. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all that You do for us. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on into the next portion of our services, please, Father, continue to bless us, and may the things we do be found favorable and acceptable in Your sight. We thank You for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, and we pray that You would continue to bless them and their families. We pray for those who are teachers and leaders and all of the jobs that are fulfilled in this congregation. We thank You for those men and those brethren. And Father, we thank You for all the membership here. We thank You this morning, Father, because You did not have to leave us here, but You left us here in spite of our ways, O Lord. And we thank You, O Lord. We thank You, Father, because it is a new day for us. We have never seen this day before. We've seen days like this, but we have never seen this day. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, for the sick and the shut in, those who are caring for the sick, and those who may not be well enough to do anything on their own. We just pray for those who do those things for them. We pray for the parents and the husbands and the wives who are raising their children this morning. We pray that You would give them strength as well to carry on. Then, Father, we pray and ask You to bless those teachers and preachers and all of those all over the country, all over the world, Father, who are doing Your will and in Your name's sake, O Lord. We pray for the churches everywhere, but in particular, this local congregation. Father, when we have done all that we can do and we have walked the last mile of our ways, help us, O Heavenly Father, to remember the Son that You sent to the cross on our behalf. We thank You for His sacrifice on yonder's cross. And it is in His name that we ask all these and many other blessings. Let us all say, amen. The text was read for your hearing from the first book of Corinthians in chapter 4. And the verse is number 1 and number 2. In particular, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we want to talk about faithful stewardship. Stewardship is another one of those subjects we don't talk a lot about. Maybe it's because it's a lack of understanding, or maybe it's because it brings up often, it's not brought up often enough. One thing I have come to realize is that we need, all of us, we need our memories jogged every now and then. Unlike music, where people don't mind hearing the same song over and over again, yet people don't want to hear the same word of God over and over again. But I tell you, we need to hear God's word over and over and over again, because that is the way that we learn about God. When the word steward or stewardship is brought up, everybody assumes automatically it's about money. Money is a part of the topic, but there's more to it than just money. Everything that we have, everything that we touch, everything that we think is ours belongs to God. So I'd like to define stewardship, if I may. Stewardship denotes the taking care or the charge of something which does not belong to you, but belongs to another. A steward, therefore, would be an employee of another and must be mindful that he or she represents that company or that business's business affairs. Christians are to take care of what God has left us with also. We are instructed to be found faithful. But then, when you think about it and you go just slightly deeper, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verses number 10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister, though some minister some one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That tells us that stewards of God, we must be faithful in order that our stewardship be faithful. You can't be a faithful have faithful stewardship if you're not a faithful steward. So we've got to be both. We can't be one or the other. You know, sometimes we like to label ourselves and we say I'm a good this or I'm a good that, but that leaves something to be missing sometimes. God has given us, every one of us, not just some of us, but He has given every one of us life. In Acts chapter 17, in the verses number 28, the Bible says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being. Without God, we would not be church. Without Him, we would be nothing. Therefore, we belong to God, and He has permitted us the use of whatever we have for just a little while." And I say for just a little while because it won't be long and we all shall depart from this place that we call our home right now. Our parents did not give us life. They were simply the tool or the vehicle used to bring us here. God is the one that gave us life. In Job chapter 33 in the verses number 4, the Bible says, "The Spirit of God has made me and the breath of the Almighty has given me life." Life that God has given us is so much more than material substance. In Luke chapter 12 in the verses number 15, the Bible says, "For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." In other words, what you have does not make your life. It might make life a little better for you, but it doesn't make your life. Our lives mean more than the money we have. More than the clothes we wear. More than the cars we drive. And certainly more than the houses in which we live. No matter what your position in life, whether you are a doctor, whether you be a lawyer, or whether you be an Indian chief or even a salesperson, your life is more than just that. You fall under the principle of stewardship. And we are all stewards of God. Now, when you think about it, church, count up the blessings that you have in just one day. If you count up your blessings that you have in just one day, you'll find that there is no way possible that you could have given yourself all of those blessings that God has given us. God has given us much more than we can provide for ourselves. That job that you work on and complain a lot about, God gave it to you. That job that you say you don't like, but every Friday or every payday, you're standing there with your hand out. That job that you think gets you from here to there, it's all because of God. God has allowed us to have a job, number one. God has given us the money that we make. And I know what some say, and some like to say, well, my job, my money, my everything. But it all belongs to God. God owns all. Since God created all things, doesn't it make sense that He is the owner? I know some may say, well, I worked hard and I worked long for all that I have. Have you not read in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 7? "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing or we can carry nothing out of this world." As a matter of fact, when you look at the truth of the matter, we can't even carry ourselves out of this world. Have you ever been to a funeral without pallbearers? No, you haven't. If you have, that's a whole nother ballgame and you need to let me know about it.
Remember how that in Matthew chapter 6, how that Jesus told us to not lay up treasures up on this earth because moth and rust will corrupt it and thieves will break in and steal? That new suit that you're wearing, that new suit that you're so proud about, it belongs to God. Did He not provide the means for you to get it? Yet in a little while, moths shall corrupt it and eat it and therefore eat the fabric. And that shiny car, oh, you know how good you felt when you drove that new car off the showroom floor? You know how good it felt, how shiny it was, and how happy you were. Well, I got some news for you. In just a little while, it's going to be a rust bucket. In just a little while, that new house will eventually need to be repaired. And upon your death, your relatives are going to be fighting over who should get it anyway. So when you think about it, church, we are to be stewards of God's treasure that He has given us. Not only in His Word, but we are to know how to take care of everything that God has allowed us to use. In Matthew chapter 6, once again, Jesus said in verse number 21, lay up, where He said, lay up not your treasures, because you know why? Where your treasures are, there will be your heart also. We must learn to accept what the Bible tells us, and that is to take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. How many times have you heard people worrying about what they're going to eat today or tomorrow? When the Bible says, take no thought of your life, church. You've got to learn to accept the fact that God knows how to provide for us. All we can do is learn to be faithful and accept what's in our possession is only temporary. It is on loan from God. Therefore, we are to be stewards, and stewardship means that we come to know that no money we have belongs to us, but it all belongs to God, and we need to make sure that we are giving back to Him. As long as I'm talking about giving, I may as well remind you of something. Giving to the church is what the church needs. Oh, you know I was going to get around to it in a minute. Giving is what you ought to do, and I got some news for you. If you wasn't here last week, and none of us were, you need to double up on what you give this Sunday. Now, some of you are going to say, well, you need to back off, preacher, right now. You need to back up now because you're going in my pocket. Well, in your pocket is what belongs to God. So you need to give it back. And I'm not going to brag, but I did. I am. I wasn't here. Where I went, I gave them something, but I'm bringing back what I should have been able to put in last week. And you ought to do the same. I don't see anybody writing a new check. But nevertheless, it's God's anyway, and it's only ours for a little while. And that stewardship that the Bible speaks of is we've got to learn to share with others the Word of God. And in the Bible lesson this morning, it was talking about those judges and the people that would not listen to the spiritual leadership of some of those judges. So I tell you, church, we've got to share God's Word so that the mysteries can be opened up to others. When you think about it, church, there's so much in the Bible that none of us will ever understand until we get there. When we get there, we can ask God, if we get there, we can ask God to explain it to us. Oh, I got a lot of questions. I got a lot of questions for some of the Bible characters. Now, I'm counting on getting there. I don't know if I will, but I'm hoping to get there. I'm hoping I can ask some of the questions of some of the people. The church cannot operate on the same amount that you gave the church 10 years ago. 10 years ago wasn't nothing as high as it is now. The gas bill wasn't as high as it is now. You know this. The light bill wasn't as high as it is now. So if you were only given $1 10 years ago, I need to ask you a question. Would you not ask your boss, if you were working on a job for 10 years and didn't get a raise, wouldn't you inquire? I would. And if you're on Social Security, you're getting something from the government, in 10 years, if you had not gotten a raise, wouldn't you write your congressman and say, hey, look, what's going on? I need to have a raise. What's happening to my Social Security check? So then if you understand that principle, you'll understand the principle that you need to give back to God some of what He has given you over those last 10 years. That's all I'm saying. God cannot, the church cannot operate on the same amount from 10 years ago. I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in the verses number 7, every man according to as he has purpose in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, as God loves a cheerful giver. Now, God is not going to stand around and laugh and send you a joke down here so you can become cheerful. You ought to want to be cheerful and give as He has purposed in your heart. What better return on money can one receive than giving back to God? Can one ever be a loser by giving back that or doing that what is well-pleasing unto God? I don't think so. So as a steward of God, we must accept good stewardship practices by being faithful to Him. Being faithful to Him means that, Lord, I'm going to do just what You ask of me, and if I can't do it, I'm going to pray that You give me strength that I may learn how to do it. God gives it all to us that we have. In James chapter 1 and verse number 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. God gives us all that we have. Didn't I tell you that before? God gives us everything that we have. Your shoes, your socks, the breakfast that you got up and ate this morning. God provided all of that. No, He didn't come down here and grow the grain that made your cereal, but He provided someone who did tend to the grain. And then someone took it to market. Someone else packaged it. And then you went to Jewel and you bought it. Don't you think you ought to give thanks to God for it? God owns everything. In Genesis chapter 1, around verse number 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Therefore, He is the Father and Creator of lights. He gives us the light of faith, the light of reason. Every good gift is from Him. God has given us the gift of life that we may use it for a little while. While we must live by faith and take care of what we have been given, for one day we shall have to give an account of our stewardship. Look at verse number 2. More of the text. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be, watch this part, whether it be good, or what's that other word? Bad. Whether it be good or bad, you're going to have to answer for it. All of us, not just some of us. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. In other words, our days of stewardship shall come to an end, and we shall be asked to give an account whether it was good, whether we were good stewards or bad stewards. In Luke chapter 16, you know the story of the parable of the rich man who had a steward. Starting at around verse number 1 or 2, the steward was called upon to give an accounting of his stewardship. Now, I'm not going to tell you the whole plot here. You're going to have to read it on your own. But the steward was called to give an accounting of his stewardship. This steward realized something. He realized that he may lose his stewardship job. He conjured up a plan to show himself in a better light. And his master was well pleased when he presented that plan. Now, you go back and read it on your own in Luke 16 to fill in the blanks that I didn't fill in. But you read it for yourself, and you'll understand that we're all going to have to give an account one day of our stewardship. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. Did we live like we should have lived? Did we love others like we should have loved others? Did we uplift one another, or were we better off at tearing one another down? Did we visit the sick or did we talk about them because they were sick? Did we come to church like we should have, or only when we wanted to, or when we felt like we should? In just a little while, our lives are going to end, church. And as hard as it is to tell you this, all of us are going to have to face death. As hard as it is for you to accept the fact that death is not going to skip over anybody in this auditorium, we're all going to face it. And we're going to have to give an accounting of just how we live our lives. In Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 10, the Bible tells us the days of our life are 70. That makes 70 years. If you live to be 70, you're doing well. Now some are going to go before 70 and some are going to go after 70. But the Bible says, but if by reason of strength you live to be 80 years, your life is soon cut off and we fly away. Oh, you know the words of the song that I like to hear sung most of the time. We're going to fly away one day. I'll fly away. One day all of us are going to fly away. And we're going to have to give an accounting of our stewardship here on this earth. So when you go back to the text and you look at it, in verse 2 it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. How can I be found faithful? Well, you have to ask God to provide the faith for you, and you have to live on faith. You have to live with faith. You have to live by faith, if you will. And faith trips a lot of people. Faith trips a lot of people, and I don't want to go too far because I think I'm going to be speaking on faith the next time I stand before you. But I'll just tell you this. You have to trust in faith. You have to trust in God because you can't see faith. If I could go to the store and buy a pound of faith, I'd be all right. But I can't go and purchase faith. I've got to believe in God and trust in Him, that His faith is what works in me and that I allow it to work in me. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and things not seen. I can't see faith, but I must be a faithful steward. I can't smell faith, but I must trust that faith is there. I can't touch faith, but I must believe that faith is there. I can't hear faith. I can hear the Word of God, and faith may be in the Word of God, but I can't hear faith itself. And certainly I can't taste faith. So even with our five senses, we can't do nothing but trust in the Lord that our faith be renewed and that our faith will be where it ought to be. So when it comes to the church, and I believe that what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, where the Bible says, upon this rock I will build my church. That's the words of Jesus. And so I trust in the church of Christ. Now I know that every church of Christ that's out there with the name the church of Christ may not be acting like the church of Christ. But then they're going to have to answer for their stewardship. I'm not going to have to answer for their stewardship. Neither will you have to answer for their stewardship. You've got to give an accounting of your own stewardship. And I know that we like to talk a lot sometimes, and we like to say, I know I'm doing all right with God. I know I'm in good standings with the Lord because He woke me up this morning. Well, He woke up some of the crookedest people in the world this morning. So that doesn't mean that you're all right with Him. It means that He just gave you another opportunity to come to Him. So if you are a good steward, and I'm almost done. I know my time is just about up. I'm closing up right now. But I know that everybody that gets up every time they get up is not necessarily working for the Lord. I know that everybody that rolls up this morning is not necessarily standing in good standing with the Lord. I know they're not all good stewards, not all good and faithful stewards. But what you have, you ought to learn to be thankful to God for it. You ought to be, if you got a pocket full of change and no greenbacks, be thankful for the pocket full of change. If you've got a bologna sandwich at home, be thankful that it's a bologna sandwich. It's not a filet mignon, but still it'll fill you up. If you've got an old piece of car outside, be thankful that it got you here. You don't have to drive a new car to church. But just be thankful for what God has given you and learn to be faithful and be a good steward. Be a faithful steward that you may perform faithful stewardship. Now, there are times in this life when people question their faith. I know there's some Church of Christ folk who question their faith. I didn't think God would really do me like that. Well, maybe He didn't. Maybe you did it to yourself. Maybe God was trying to send you a message by that, whatever that might be. But you still must be faithful. You still must be a faithful steward in order to have faithful stewardship. Now, when you put everything in this life together and it comes your time to die, how many times have you seen somebody take all of their personal assets with them? You can't take it with you, church. You've got to learn to be faithful while you're here with what you have. Because once you're gone, you're gone. As hard as it may seem to see that concept, it is the truth. Faithful stewards must learn to give to others the Word of God, what they have learned. When somebody asks a question of you, a biblical question, you ought to be able to give them a biblical answer. And if you can't, you ought to be able to say to them, "Can I call you back later? Because I'll get the answer." And then what you do is get on the phone and call Brother Jackson or Brother Burnside and ask them to answer the question for you. Or even me, I may be able to answer the question for you. But if you are becoming like people of the world, when they find themselves in a situation that they can't answer the Word of God, they make up stuff. That's not the right thing to do. You've got to be a faithful steward, and God's Word will always be the same. There will be no new versions of God's Word. There'll be some translations coming out maybe, but there won't be any new words of God. They're already here, and they're here for life. They're here for good. So take what you have and learn to be a faithful steward, that your stewardship may be faithful. How do I come to the Lord? Will you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized? We'll baptize you this day. If you're already a member, but somewhere your life has went astray, Christians do go astray. Contrary to popular belief, I can't go wrong when I'm a Christian. That's not true. They do go astray. All they need to do is ask God to give them the faith and the strength they need to overcome whatever is bothering them. And then once they can do that, they can come forward and ask the church to help them to pray that they may grow stronger as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.